I think it's very unfortunate that the NES did not explain what was being done and why publicly, and has not yet released a report on the elections in response to the concerns that were raised by Elections Committee. So I'm looking forward to very impatiently the NES
Louder.
write-up.
Yeah, you
I'm
need
looking
to
forward
speak
very
loud.
impatiently to the NES write-up. I'm sorry, the NES did not, National Election Supervisor did not explain clearly and publicly who is being disqualified and why. I think it's caused a lot of confusion to people. I know I saw the results and I couldn't understand why we had 38 candidates who ran, only 34 appeared in the results. So I think that's very unfortunate.
Thank you, Michael. Janine, you wanted to tackle that?
Well, I just wanted to explain that at the last LSB meeting, I became aware through Hara that the NES does not always give her report within the time frame before the newly elected members are seated. And when I saw that, I put forward a motion that the seating of the new members should be contingent on a report from the NES. And this report would explain why various candidates were disqualified. And so I'm hoping, Michael knows that this was brought up at the tail end of the LFB meeting. I'm hoping we quickly had an exchange about including it at our next meeting, which was originally just supposed to be about the vote for the bylaws. But I think it's the 10th or the 8th. We would be voting on that as well. That if the seating of the new members be contingent on a full report from the
That will be on
Otherwise,
the, that will be
she's
on the.
given no report at all, and we're seating members. So if this is
Right.
a habit, this should not be allowed and, shouldn't be catered to anyone. Thank you.
We will meet again on the 12th, and on the 15th is when the new board members will be seated, on the 15th of December. Okay, Michael, is that your hand up, or as a follow-up, or did you forget to lower your hand? Michael Heiss.
Oh, sorry. I'm multitasking. I apologize.
Okay.
I didn't put it down. But Beryl, I would like to see if I could get an answer to my question about whether or not there is a paid music director on staff. And
Oh,
it's
I meant to address that. Yes, you are absolutely right. Thank you.
It's confusing because it's called a director, but it's not a management position. She's a member of the staff, and as a result, it has union contract protection for her position.
Louder.
The music director is not a management position. The program director was first cuts that were made at the station were made in management to the extent possible, on the theory of chopping from the top and trying to preserve the staff positions. The music director is a staff position, not a management position. So,
And absolutely, you know who this person is. It's a female, and I don't need to mention her name. But I am very concerned about that as well because we need a program director. And then you have friction there because this person feels that, all musical, engagements need to go through her realm, and that has created friction for a number of years at the station. That's another subject of conversation. Okay, and on top of that, we have a hiring freeze at the station, and yet there are some independent contractors that have been recently hired at the station. This is an argument that I can pose, but just wanted to lay it out there for now. We should be taking that up. Marisol Cruz, I see you. Thank you so much. You've been so quiet. Thank you so much for joining us. Do you have any words of wisdom to share with us? Where are you?
Hey. Hi. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm here in downtown LA. I'm heading to a Freedom March here in City Hall. with my son.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Going against the vax passports. And yeah, freedom to choose. So that's
all right.
And that's a lot of, you guys are talking about a membership. There's a whole lot of people out there seeking the truth and seeking education. It goes right with the vision. It would be great to have some information put in the airwaves. And
that's right.
Have people tune in.
That's right. And we hope you can help us all in that venue, because you were just elected, so congratulations again.
Thank you, Soto.
Yeah, and we'll see you next 15th. You'll be seated. There will, oh, by the way, the LSB voted to hold an orientation session for the new members, and this has not happened before, so this is very important, so look out for that. Thank you, and be safe. That's great.
I will.
Okay, now I wanted to, Janine, are you keeping track? Laura Levinson, I am so glad you decided to join us today.
We've had
Hi, Della, how are you?
Just fine, thank you. Thank you for joining us. Thank you. Go ahead, Janine.
No, I was just going to say Sue Cohen's hand is still up. I don't know whether she's one.
Okay. Yes, I see her hand up now. Go ahead, Sue.
Oh, I don't know if I can talk without an echo.
Oh, no, you're fine now.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure everyone knows that they can tune in to the LSB meeting and speak with public comment. And welcome Marisol, and thank you, and I forgot what I was going to say.
I mentioned that, Sue, earlier. There are three opportunities in the agenda for public comments so that the public can be heard and exchanged with the LSB members. Thank you, Sue.
I was meaning regular LSB meetings.
Correct. On the agenda. The monthly meetings,
okay.
Public meetings. Did you want to add anything else, Sue?
Yeah, the music director's a concern. I'm a marketing expert, and I keep trying to, make good marketing fundraising things on the website, and I can't get them on there, and I guess that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. I see, Ziri. Hello, Ziri. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Bella, how are you? How is it?
And congratulations again being elected to the LSB board. You'll be seated with Marisol Cruz next month.
Yes, thank you so much. It's an honor.
Great. What words do you want to share with us? This recording is going to, you missed the early part of this town hall. We read the mission statement from the top at the beginning. And wanted you to, you gave us some good ideas yesterday at the Finance Committee. If you like, you can recite them again here, because this audio will be submitted to the General Manager.
Okay. So, yes, thank you for letting me speak. And I have yesterday brought up...
If you can speak, if you can raise your voice.
Okay. Can you hear me better now?
No. Come closer to your phone, to your microphone.
I'm holding it right to my mouth.
Okay.
So I had suggested to not just focus on grants, but actually find ways to stay independent. And a good way to do that is to use podcasts of very well-established journalists or comedians. Some of them we already had on, like Jimmy Dore, but others, like there's, for example, podcasts by Aaron Maté or Max Blumenthal, There's Glenn Greenwald. There's a lot of very good people out there. And I believe we should approach them. I can gladly do that because I know some of them. And I feel that they have already completed product. So that means they have podcasts which are ready to go. There's no extra expense to PFK to produce material. And this will really help with fundraise on a very short notice. It could be done probably very quickly because all these materials are currently already available. And instead of only, I think it's good to sometimes use some of the other stations' great programming, but mostly I'm interested in using some of our own. And Jimmy Dore is a homegrown product. You know, he was here for a long time. I'm sad that he's been booted out, and he, I think, would be happy to come back. And, yeah, I wanted to just caution people in general about grants. Grants always come, as everybody knows, with a lot of obligations, a lot of limitations. Even the CPAB grants that used to be relatively neutral and independent have now financing from very big players, from the Bill Gates Foundation to other players that are very detrimental to what KPFK is all about. And so I think it's very important we stay with our mission statement, we stay independent, and be brave, you know, and not just think, oh, we're in a crisis, we have to put up with whatever, this money doles out. There's a lot of noise in the background, I don't know what that is.
Hello?
Okay,
Siri.
Your
papers are rattling.
Ziri, are you done?
Yes, thank you so much.
That was excellent, excellent, and this is on the recording. I wanted to let people know, I'm holding, I don't know if you can see this booklet, not unless I do immediate, a screen, share, but it's, I got, KPFK involved, back in, I think it was 2005, no, it was earlier, 2003, I got KPFK involved with the Media Education Foundation, or MEF, known as MEF, Challenging Media. This organization has an incredible speaker series on very, very critical global issues. And their mission is always challenging the media, meaning the corporate media. We used to have some of their speaker series years ago on the airwaves, and they were very, very popular. Just wanted to drop that in. I also created, I don't want to do a screen share now, but I created this document to collect credit cards on events while we are out and about. And it's called Radio Station KPFK Credit Card Membership Monthly Recurring Sustainer. And there, when we are tabling at the public events, we can take our credit cards or we can do them on our computer for new members and lapsed membership. So all of this in the works. And we read the mission statement earlier. And the mission has to guide everything on Pacifica, and that's what we need to return to. Okay, let me see here. Thank you, Siri, for that. That was great. I also prepared a grid, about 3/4 completed, and I sent it to the GM just to give him some idea. He was grateful that I put all that work into it, which encompasses, it catapults a lot of these ideas, you know. So anyway, I'll be sharing that publicly soon once I finish the Saturday column, which I need to get back to. Carlos Zavala. Go ahead, Carlos. Unmute.
Hi. I was just listening to the comment about, you know, homegrown talent like Jimmy Dore. And then I think about my daughter screaming about how much of, you know, a misogynistic jerk he is and stuff. And so it kind of, this whole idea of trying to bring in the young is kind of difficult because they've polarized themselves in many ways. whereas our generation might have been more maybe monoculture because we're raised on 13 channels, you know, and broadcast. These kids want to listen to their own, only their own message, and that's a little bit frightening. I mean, and actually, one thing we need to do is a radio station is kind of attack that one-sidedness the one-sidedness that people are being kind of promoted to be in their own. We're all hypocritical at being hypocritical of others, or calling other people hypocrites. You know, that's what I see in the younger generation that can tear people apart, and the media has been using that very well, and been the corporate media has been using that very well to attack us and to attack others and different thinking. And I think that it's more important that we bring in discussions of different thinking and not attack it, but actually embrace the talk and start, you know, walking the walk of educating people on the various issues that are going on. I mean, there's so many sides to the things. You know, is electric cars just an excuse for the nuclear power industry to heat the earth from the bottom up? You know, we don't ask ourselves even those kind of questions because the general media is basically leading the conversation. And we need to get away from that.
Thank you, Carlos, and congratulations again for being elected to the KPFK LSB. You will be seated next month, right?
Yes, I will be. I just lowered my hand because no reason to
keep
it up.
Yes, thank you. I think Ziri has a follow-up here. Go ahead, Ziri.
Thank you, Bella. So last time I looked, I was a woman and Carlos was not. So I think the designation of a sexism or a misogynist, or what you just called Jimmy Dore, is something you should leave up to women to determine that. I don't consider him at all a misogynist. I think he's very brave in calling out a lot of the mainstream Democrats, and he's inconvenient to them and a thorn in their side, and this is why
I agree. I agree.
Wait, let her finish. Ziri finish. Yes,
sorry.
Go ahead, Ziri.
Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, there's a feminist program on KPFK, but in general, I think there's relatively little. So our programming is still mostly white men. And this is something I do think we should have much wider variety. And that includes also, you know, women should also not just be the ones on the airwaves, but also have a bigger right in choosing who's on the airwaves. Hence my suggestion of Jimmy Dore, who I think is excellent.
Thank you, Ziri. Go ahead, Carlos. You can do the follow-up now.
I do like Jimmy Dore, and I do like the way he attacked things. What I don't like is the way the media, in the corporate media, basically attacked him in a similar way they attacked the senator, who was a comedian, who in a comical stance put his hands near but not on top of, not touching, as a comedian, and then later was elected as a senator and then was kicked out by the Democrats for being, you know, oh my God. And he was like the best voice in terms of being critical of other people who were hypocrites. And yet, as soon as he appeared on TV, the first thing my daughter said is, well, what a jerk. And I'm like, God, you know, he was just, attacked by the media. And in the same way Jimmy Dore was attacked by the media, it's educating people as to how the media attacks people who they want to disfavor, because those people have real opinions and real, I guess I could call it the Rush Limbaugh. Oh, it makes me money, so I'm going to keep on going after this bullshit stuff, even though I don't believe in it. Because, you know, like Rush Limbaugh was union. And all of those guys are union. All those people on Fox are union. They're not, and they criticize union. And yet that's what's elevated their lives.
Right.
So when we sit there, and it's all this hypocrisy I see within what we're doing in terms of trying to criticize other and fighting others rather than bring us together.
Thank you, Carlos. And By the way, I take issue with the wide brush that you use to paint the youth. KPFK was instrumental and had an exemplary youth training program years ago, and we need to reinstitute that as soon as possible. And before 2016, when there was a major change on our KPFK board with different factions, sadly, the outreach committee, I was not chair then, I've been a member for many years, had a plan to go out to the different schools, different colleges, and start speaking, addressing the clubs and the school clubs to bring KPFK onto the campuses. And unfortunately, this dramatic change in our board disillusioned many, and many just left. And even the outreach committee suffered. So that is a bit of history that I have not shared. Wanted to share that. So we have to bring back the youth. I know Michael Heiss has spoken ardently about this. He also has some good ideas. So yeah, the youth must be present at our station. And at our recent LSB meeting on Wednesday, the general manager was there for a short time taking Q&A and giving his report. And one of the board members, Bo Roberson, asked him, how can the many volunteers return back to the station to assist you and assist, you know, the operations now that you have a very reduced staff? There was no response to that. And we need to open up our station again. We need to get our volunteers back in our station to help out. That's what we have been about. That's what we need to return to. Okay, go ahead, Margo. I see you. And then you, Laura.
I was just going to say about programs that talk about the media, there's fairness and accuracy in reporting.
Right.
Janine Jackson has a half-an-hour program. It's cinched in early in the morning after the end of Stairway to Heaven. So we wouldn't have to reinvent the wheel if we asked that program to come on for a longer time and have more analysis of the media. And I've heard a couple of other people recently, I think Tom Hartman, and I think he was communicating with Brad, he's been talking about how the media, the mainstream media, isn't talking about the real issues and that those people have their opinions. But we could maybe get some more programs on that do have criticism of the mainstream media. And that's really important to analyze. That's why I think we could take this, what we've got, and expand it, possibly. Thank you. There's a few other things I would have that to bring up the program committee.
By the way, I included that program, and I gave it some prime time, but on a rotating basis, but at least getting an hour. Go ahead. Thank you, Margo. Go ahead, Laura. You can unmute.
Hi.
Hi,
Laura. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I just find it very amusing that I'm seeing the chat, and I'm hearing people's comments that we need to say, for example, bring more women in, but we don't want the women to be too critical of men, and we need to bring in the youth, but we don't want youth to be opinionated, too opinionated. I mean, what are youth? Youth are super opinionated. They're super opinionated. And if we want to bring them in, we're not going to be indoctrinating them. It's not going to happen. So just if you really want to look to the future, it might be a little bit uncomfortable at first to see what's going to be brought in. So, with, you know, KPFK has lots and lots of fuddy-duddies. That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Laura. Great comments. Excellent comeback. Go ahead, Janine. Thank you.
Yeah, so on Wednesday, we had a finance committee meeting, and it turned into a little bit of a fundraising brainstorming meeting. And, you know, one of the things I'm realizing is that, you know, we need to invest a little bit in these ideas. They're not just going to happen free. I'm on the fundraising committee, and almost everything that we've come up with requires a little bit of money. And so we're so scared because we're you know, bare bones, you know, but we do have a little bit of leeway, coming. I wish we could define it in the finance committee, because there is, a bit of give and take where our expenses, even though we're at a shortfall, are getting covered. And if we come up with these plans and we were to come up with the amount of money that we need to do A, to do B, to do a news, group, to do, a local news group. If we came up with a plan and actually had it in our budget and it could be approved, we could start to move forward. We need a plan to get on the internet and start reaching out to the youth. They don't know about us. So how are we going to get on Instagram? How are we going to get on Twitter? How are we going to, we need somebody to come in and pitch an overall idea, and it's going to take a little bit of investment, and it's going to need somebody in there to nurture it. So without, the ability to, meet with the GM and talk about our finances, which is just not happening. We're not able to grab it. And it's one of the reasons I'm in the finance committee. It's just, I can't believe that we're not able to, have the tools that we need to really talk about those things. And I hope that changes soon. I believe that that's the key to reaching out to the youth. And the other thing that I would say is, we are without a program, director right now. We can say anything we want, even the LSB, talk. The program director coming in is the one that's going to be dictating and putting forth the ideas. Even our program oversight committee really is just oversight, right? And when the candidates come up for our program director, we have to be very careful about who we put in. Because when you talk about Jimmy Dore, there's a ton of people that when you go within 10 feet of him, right, they're not going to be brave. And I think what we have to start saying is that we need an array of political opinions. That's what's not happening. We have Ian Masters, at the top of, most popular time, drive time or whatever for 2 hours. We need diversity in it. And that's how we bring people in, because the diversity will, one, serve everybody's mindset, and two, allow people to open up to new mindsets. So, I'm not going to be on the PNB, but I'll be like, thumping for, these items. Thank you.
Well, you have my thumb up and you have my heart up. So there you go. Thank you, Janine. That was great. Yes, I wanted to go to, hold on. I wanted to all give you a sample listening to the former program director, whom was actually kind of a mixed bag. He came from that we had at KPFK, Kevin Fleming. He did a great thing. I sent him the copy material, and he put together, this was for last year, and that was a successful Zoom town hall that we had. It was promoted on KPFK. So give a listen. He had a great voice. Here he goes. One moment.
The KPFK Local Station Board invites you to a virtual town hall. It's your chance to connect with KPFK. Share your thoughts about our programs, hosts, music, website, and more. Plus hear from other KPFK listeners. The KPFK LSB Virtual Town Hall is Saturday, November 21st at 1 p.m. Join the conference call at 319-527-2788. Access code 389176#. We'll meet you at the virtual town hall. And thanks for listening to KPFK.
Did you hear that?
I wish that was a town hall.
Yeah, it sounded good.
Do you hear any echo from my line? I disconnected my earphones. But if I don't have to put them on, I'll take them off.
You're fine.
Okay. Then I'll take it off because it's beginning to bother me. So yeah, he did a great job, and he would attend as many program oversight committee meetings to collaborate with the LSB. And he did that because his conscience told him to. to do the right thing as program director. That's what he's supposed to do. That's what a program director is supposed to do. That's what a general manager is supposed to do. Every staff at the station has to are subservient to the LSB governance. And they have decided to create an island at the station for many, many years. And this is what has separated us, A and B. And then this is where the friction has been. And then on top of that, you've had the programmers on air, so-called producers, telling the listeners that we are the source of evil, that we are preventing progress, that we don't do this, that we prevent this, that we micromanage that. And this has also not helped for many years. So our financial situation has been the product of a number of elements over years. But one is for sure, our mission statement has been left behind, not reflected on our programming grid. Okay, I see Andrew. Go ahead, Andrew. You can unmute.
Sasha Stack.
Go ahead. Andrew, you go after Sasha.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes, please. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah. Yes, I thought I was unmuted. So anyway, I was saying I think one of the best things we can do for our station and for our network is what we're doing right now, having open, structured, civilized discussion amongst the listeners and as much of the staff, et cetera, as possible. So the two things in regards to that, I want to put a plug in, let everybody know that we are actually doing this. There is a group that I co-coordinate called the Pacifica Listener Forum. We hold twice a month open conference call discussions amongst all the listeners and staff and board members of the Pacifica Network, not just KPFK, but of all the radio stations, the five stations, and hopefully the affiliates. So if you'd like to participate in that, send an email to PacificaListenerForum@gmail.com. Once again, the email is PacificaListenerForum@gmail.com. Everyone is invited to participate. As long as you follow our ground rules, which is one person speaks at a time and we operate with a stack. So everybody gets to speak about any topic regarding the radio station or the network. The second thing is having regular monthly reports to the listener from both the general manager and hopefully other staff, as well as from the LSB, which I guess only has to happen every 2 months. More would be better. But I do want to comment on the first one that our new general manager did just the other day, Miguel, and I was very disappointed and concerned about how that happened. It's supposed to be dialogue about matters relating to what's going on at the station, to inform us what's going on at the station and let listeners comment and ask questions. However, it was 45 minutes of him interviewing another programmer about his personal life, which I think is totally inappropriate. And as well, it only left 15 minutes for listeners to call in. It should be a half hour of call-ins is what the Pacifica National Board has mandated. As well, when listeners called in, he only allowed them or tried to allow them to only answer a question that he posed, which was, why do you think community radio is important? I don't think that's what the call-ins should be about. So I'll wrap it up and say I think everybody should listen to that on the archives and give your feedback to the new general manager and ask him to do it in a more appropriate way. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. I fully agree with you. And he said at the LSB on Wednesday night that he will be doing a follow-up next month. Between now and then, we should do what Andrew just prescribed, which is send your comments, as some people have already started to do since Wednesday, and also concerning now promoting the town hall, a host of issues. But definitely, the address and communications with the listeners is essential, which is exactly the same as opening up the airwaves from as many programs on air as possible to connect and give a space for the listeners to know they're being heard, that they can also engage with the other listeners. This is all, you know, we're supposed to be a family. We are supposed to create a community family. You know, that's what makes Pacifica very unique, non-commercial. So, okay, Sasha, Siri, hold on, please. Sasha has had his hand up. Go ahead, Sasha, unmute. Sasha Carlin.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
Hi, thanks.
Thank
yes,
you for
I listened to part of that call the other night, and I kept getting pulled away with other things that were distracting in my field of attention at that moment, during that period. But what I did hear, it's like, I'm still cleaning the syrup out of my ears from that guy's voice. I'm sorry. It sounds kind of snarky. I'd like to make it sound more comical, but it's actually hard to listen to this guy who's now the general manager. And I don't know if he's really connected to who we are. And I was disappointed, and I just felt like here we are once again. They've hired yet another general manager. This is like number 40 or something in the last 40 some years. And it's just very, very frustrating. The whole structure, maybe this is not the time and place to talk about this, but I hope it is somewhat. The whole structure, the whole Pacifica thing where all the power is given to this national board and then the executive director who does all the management hiring, and then the station managers hire other personnel on the staff of each station. And I hear that a comment on this meeting just a little while earlier about our personnel is way down now. Did I hear that right?
Down to about 15 from 36.
Oh, okay. So that's progress then. I wasn't aware of that. So I'm kind of glad to hear that. I mean, that's like getting down to back where it should be and where it used to be.
Right.
So we're no longer the number one of 36 where everyone else is averaging probably around 12 to 15 or something like that.
Less than that.
So I'm glad. You know, maybe that's hope. Maybe there's hope on the horizon with that. And I just think that the more collaborative, cooperative, power sharing arrangements we have where people are sharing the power and yet there's really volunteer base. It's not like there's the king who's paid the $100,000 a year or $80,000 a year salary to run the show and then everyone else are his minions. And if you're not on the payroll, you really have no voice in the power. You might have a voice as a volunteer just to be like, yeah, I'm a volunteer, but you don't really call any shots. And it's like, if we could really, just completely reorganize the whole structure of Pacifica, starting at our station levels, would be great, but something is not right. And I'm just really afraid that if we start accepting foundation funding grants, that will really be the end. I mean, there may be still something called Pacifica, but it will be much closer to NPR, maybe worse than we'd ever, imagined. But once that money flows in, I think the people who are at the top of the pyramid and controlling the money and the purse strings, they will just they'll run roughshod over the whole thing. And it may be completely irreversible if that happens. So I know that there's some people who may not know what I'm talking about or may not understand what I'm saying. I may not be saying it very, very well, but please pay attention. Please try to dig down into the history on the various websites that Jonathan Markowitz has mentioned numerous times in these calls and for years outside of these calls in personal conversations and on other forums. And so thank you. I hope some of that made sense to some enough people, and I didn't mean to take up too much time. Thank you very much for giving me the platform.
Thank you, Sasha. Very important viewpoint. And I sent out, someone sent me a link regarding, Bill Gates, who was outed. He has, influenced different media outlets across the United States to the tune of $319 million, and including the CPB, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. So it's very alarming that this is an area that Pacifica wants to move back into to get the CPB money, which, by the way, if we do that again, it will undermine the $25 annual membership per member model, which is should be self-sustaining if we were upholding the mission statement, because its threshold is extremely high and disregards our protocols, our internal protocols. And this is where, in 2009, we began declining, because our programming grid across the network was being completely restructured, where a lot of pre-recorded and imports were coming in, and we were began losing most of our local flavor programming and news departments. So we need to have some history to know why we are where we are and why we have suffered so much financially by losing so much membership, because it's all tied, right? The membership goes with the funds. And our income is so low right now. And to maintain the station still monthly is to the tune of $250,000. And that's just for the expenditures. That should not be. The other stations in the network are operating with half of that and even less than that. And now recently we lost our business manager, and we desperately need a bookkeeper with know-how of Great Plains, which is our internal accounting program, so that we can get timely reporting and transparency of our reports. But now we have been turned over to an outsourced outfit called Netta, and we have not even received our August profit and loss yet. And for the rest of the other reports we've been asking for, good luck with that. So that's where we are right now. So there's a lot going on. Okay, Ziri, go for it.
Ruth to the stack also.
Sure. Ziri was next. Go ahead, okay. Ziri.
Can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I wanted to actually say something about what Sasha said. I thought this was an excellent comment. And Sasha, I totally agree. And I agree also with Jonathan, that this is a very serious danger and a dangerous phase we're going into right now, and that we have to find other sources of financing, and that our communal nature, meaning that we should have an egalitarian structure where we don't have the kings telling us what goes, and we're just sitting in some committees with only advisory kind of pointless influence. And so I think it's very interesting that while this is going on in the background about the grants, this is not publicly discussed. I have not sat in, I've been in 4 or 5 committee meetings now for the finance committee, and nobody talks about grants. At the same time, I'm hearing that on the national level and also in these development task forces, there are some kind of steerings, and they are wildly organizing grants, but this is not even on the record. So that means we have no way of knowing what is discussed behind closed doors. And I feel one of the most important things how Pacifica has to change is to be to the outside presenting a relatively united front, not like Ian Masters belly aching all over the airwaves of what was wrong and why one should not donate. We have to have an announcement similar like what was said on Wednesday, that somebody like Margaret Prescott, who has credence with the audience, saying, okay, we're starting over. We got these people out who were very, you know, divisive. And now we're presenting a united front to the outside. But that means that on the inside, we have to be transparent. There cannot be these kind of secret committee meetings, secret task forces. This has to be for everybody visible what's happening in there. Because I have this fear that we're just blah-blahing around in this finance committee where nothing ever happens. And meanwhile, other people create facts and making decisions in some secretive task forces. And I feel this should not be allowed. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Siri. Janine, did you have a pressing issue you wanted to speak? Because we have two other people waiting.
No, that's fine. They can go ahead of time, but I do have something to say about that for sure.
Well, you know, go ahead. Go ahead. And then I'll go to Sue Cohen and then Margot.
Well, you know, I think they know how controversial it is, and that's why it's not being laid out on the table. And when I, back in September, when I revitalized the finance fundraising committee, I said that I really would, am hoping that it would also house any discussion about, grant writing, because, it should be a conversation. And in our last meeting, well, actually, not the last meeting, the one at the end of October, we talked about having just a task force addressing that issue. But it keeps floating around outside of the fundraising committee as if it's not part of fundraising, which it is. So that's number one. Number two is, there's been a lot of discussion in the fundraising committee that we could earmark some of our fundraising, which is to say that, okay, we're fundraising for a online initiative. We're fundraising for a youth-oriented online initiative to get new membership. You know, how if we earmark things, or we're earmarking for community news coverage, you know, and in that way, what we're doing is putting our money where our values are instead of people, because I think we've lost the trust of a lot of listenership. So anyway, fundraising committee's where it's at.
And yeah, and by the way, Janine, may I add that the phone banking that we are working on in the fundraising committee, that will start very soon. Michael Novick is also involved with that. We need volunteers that will be coming to the station to get involved with that. So what I think we should do, Janine, I know that the next fundraising committee has not been scheduled yet. So as soon as that gets scheduled, I can send out the link and the information to, you know, to people so people can join and learn what's going on, because the script for the phone banking is being reworked and it looks pretty good so far. And I know Michael Novick was trying to stream it down a little bit and make it more cohesive. So, okay, so now I am going to go to Sue. Margo, I see you. Hang tight. Thank you, Janine. Go ahead, Sue.
If we could just define, are we going until,
we are at 2:15. Normally we go 2.5 hours for the town hall. For the outreach monthly meeting is 2 hours. And that even goes over usually by 10 or 15 minutes. So yeah, we will go through the half hour. And then, Jonathan, I think you want to speak. Okay, go ahead, Sue.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Your phone. You need to disconnect or turn it down or something. Your phone. For the echo.
Oh God.
Okay, we'll come back to you, Sue. We'll come back to you, okay?
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Our new manager, I don't think he had any idea what a pit of sharks he was going to be thrown right away into. And he's only been here a short time. And I believe he's really sincere, really sincere. And at first, he was so sincere, he wanted to read every single email that we sent him. And he found out it was too much. He's just one person, and we are thousands. Anyway, and I've tried to tell him that he doesn't shouldn't feel like he has to read every single email and respond to every person and every point of view. And as much as he wanted to try, and I think he's so overloaded right now that I think he may be apparently turning a deaf ear to some of us, but it's not because he doesn't care. It's just because he's so, so overloaded right now. And I think we need to give him a chance. He's not Superman, but I think he's maybe the best manager we've had in a while. And I hope he can hang on, or before we get somebody else who's an unknown quantity and maybe worse than him. Please. Thank you all. Bye.
Well, Sue, that is fantastic. Thank you so very much. Thank you. I see you, Margot. Go ahead. Oh. Margot, you need to unmute.
There. Oh, wait. Oh, hello. I think you can hear me now. So I got the same.
Yeah.
Okay. I just looked up culturela.org about, and it is a program that's from the city of LA, but it gives grants to cultural and other kinds of foundations and other kinds of endeavors. And so I think someone from the finance committee should look into this. And because LA Theater Works does receive a grant from them, they announce it at the end of their program. I'm just saying, I'm sending it out to Sue Cohn's list with everybody on it because I couldn't resist the temptation. Then I'll put everybody in blind cover copy. But the point is, we have resources that if more people will participate in the finance committee and other committees, we will be able to get a lot of more resources. And I guess I better say it right out loud that Sue John said, I don't think that only for online things is the important way to get reached young people. I think they might be fascinated with the idea of radio. Pasadena City College used to have a radio program that we've sponsored, but then they ended up, my son participated, he learned a huge amount of radio production things, but they ended up giving all the money to the sports programs, so that sort of fall apart. Now their station is not as good as it used to be. And so thank you. I think we should really be opening up to all different possibilities and seeing that we can use it for the purpose of promoting the Pacifica mission statement in this unique way. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Marco Iser. I see Jonathan. Did we lose Jonathan?
I also asked to be on the chat. Hold on, Ruth.
Hold on, please. Because I think Jonathan was trying to speak before and somehow could have gotten lost here.
He's not on the call anymore.
I don't see him on the list. Okay, well then go ahead, Ruth. Unmute yourself. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'm not muted, am I?
No. Go ahead.
Okay. So, a couple of things. One is, I totally agree with you. We are absolutely effete on the finance committee because we don't have any of the information, and I don't know why, but until we do, we can't, you know, exercise any judgment or even make an opinion to anybody. So that has to be corrected. And I don't know if Fred Blair is going to correct it or not correct it. So far, you know, nothing's happened on that score, but something has to happen. Second of all, last night, I believe it was last night, multiple good suggestions were given by Michael and by Dave Johnson for things to increase, for programs that need to be done to increase listenership, as well as, you know, fundraising, et cetera. So we need to make sure that the programming committee takes note of that. And I will listen to the program again and try to write down what those things were because they were excellent. The third thing is, before people, I mean, I am no fan of Bill Gates. You know, he's bad. He's a corporatist. He's greedy. et cetera. He's, you know, employed, underskilled people in Africa to teach people. All of that is bad. However, before we turn a gift horse in the mouth in terms of the CPB, before we out of hand decide that we're not going to apply, we need to know what their constrictions are. Because if they don't have constrictions, regardless of what Bill Gates gives, if they're not turning whatever he gives into a mandate for a station like us, then there's no sense in not applying for something like that. We need to know if there are any stipulations other than serving the community that we have. Because if that's the only stipulation, then we would be fools not to get that money. We need money. And if we can get it without onerous strings attached, we need to do it. That's my pitch. Thank you.
Thank you, Ruth. By the way, I wanted to add that what I wrote on my message when I sent out the info about Bill Gates, he has been a very singularly responsible individual funding the national corporations with charter school that have been...
He's awful. I'm not disputing that. All I'm saying is that if we don't personally have to do anything by his dictates, or if CPB does not give us onerous stipulations, there's no sense in not trying to get those funds. We need them. Thank you.
Okay, Ruth, thank you. And let me finish. The charter school situation in this country has been just abysmal, destroying the public educational system, preventing it from getting its due funding for technology, for advancement, and for the professionals that are so meagerly paid. So all of that is in the background as well. And other issues. Okay, I wanted to read Hara Andala, public comment. The fund drive ended Friday, November 5th, in a rude way. So who made the decisions to remove the thermometer, I guess, showing the total? Oh, he meant this at the website at kpfk.org. There is a thermometer there that shows, you know, gives you a gauge of how we are doing with our fund drives, up or down. And B, failed to thank all the pledgers for their commitment. Bad form, to say the least. The thermometer was smashed at C11:40 p.m. So even not at midnight. Michael Heiss wrote, I would like to speak as an independent former candidate. Okay.
That was very early on in the chat.
Okay, thank you.
You want me to do that now, Bella? I don't want to jump the line. That would be a bad boy thing to do.
Okay, Michael, nobody can keep you down, so go ahead.
I just don't want to jump the line because that would be a bad boy thing to do.
Go ahead, Michael Heiss. Andrew is right after you. Go ahead.
I'm simply responding to the question very early in this typically interminable call about the various sides and factions and New Day and Old Day and yesterday and today and tomorrow. When I decided to get involved to run for the LSB, I did so as an independent because I feel that people, this isn't Republican or Democrat or conservative or liberal. This is people who should be focused on getting things back on the path to financial and media righteousness. And I think that there was I don't have enough money to, you know, I'm semi-retired. I don't have enough money to send out a mailing. Where the heck am I going to get that from? But I specifically, tactical error, chose not, even being asked, to be on the slates because We should have this as a nonpartisan election process. And if you're not exposed, and there are the courts, as you know, Bella, because you were there right before I was, to record your card with Jose. They were never played. There were two on-air forums. Okay, fine. But the process is what the process was. Let's try and make it better. Or people, including yours truly, are going to say, I have better places, still support, but people will say, I have better uses for my time to get hung up in this and have it have no effect. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael Heiss. Good points. Go ahead, Andrew. You need to unmute.
Yes. Thank you, Bella. Regarding grants, two issues here. First of all, I've had extensive discussions with Jonathan Markowitz, who's very, very knowledgeable about the issue with grants and participated in the writing of our bylaws many years ago. He has a long history with Pacifica. So anyway, with grants, two issues. First of all, number one, the CDC grants do come with strings attached. People don't know that, but they do have conditions. So we need to know about these. Second, there is not just the issue about whether or not the grants, who they come from, whether or not they have strings attached. There is the other end of it, and this might be the most important one, is who controls this money? Once the money comes in, who's in control of that money at Pacifica, and who gets to decide where that money goes and what programs to put on the air? Is it a group that is controlled by the Democratic Party or by New Day Pacifica or some other small group, or is it the listeners? It's probably going to be a small group, so that's very dangerous for Pacifica. It disempowers the listeners. If we're not the ones who do all the funding for Pacifica, which is the way it is right now, it disempowers us listeners. They no longer have to listen to us and respond to us as listeners if they're not depending on us for the funding. So we really need to consider this issue of grants. And before we go ahead with grants, I think we should have a very extensive and open discussion about grants and if there are other alternatives, which I hope there are, and I know there are, because we've been doing it for some 70 years now. Thank you. And once again, let me just put in a plug. Pacifica Listener Forum holds twice monthly open discussions where we can discuss any issues regarding Pacifica Radio amongst all listeners and staff from the five stations. We get management, we get LSB members come on, and all listeners are welcome to participate. And again, the email contact is PacificaListenerForum@gmail.com. Thank you, Bella.
Thank you, Andrew.